We're off air. And we're live. What Embargo's back.
Woohoo!
Book two, chapter one. We lost Catfish. He got caught by a fisherman. But we have a new co-host, a new and improved. And somehow I still got stuck here and we didn't get a new and better co-host. But let's everyone welcome June. June, say hello.
Hello. Should I make up a fish name? Should I be like Yellow Snapper?
Dude, there you go. You're Yellow Snapper. I love it. I have to add it to my list because I have a list here and I hate doing this now, but I meant to actually say, hey, we have to think of a name for you. But now that you have, I have so many people who I've given nicknames to that I have to put in my iPhone and I have a little list of people. And then I go off of there. Like when I mail stuff out to people, there's this one guy who watches us who lives in Boston. I usually have to give names of someone, you know, who you're mailing to. They have it in their records. And I forgot that I leave them under a Great White Shark rather than his actual name. And I'm like, crap, what the? So then I remember that's how I found him. So Yellow Snapper. June is now Yellow Snapper.
And Yellow Snapper.
Yellow Snapper and Big Tuna. June, why don't you, Catfish just said Yellow Snapper, why don't you talk to us about your years of smoking and Habanos and Cuba and everything?
Yeah, sounds good. I smoked cigars for the last 10 years and first started smoking the AJ Fernandez Man of War because it is such a banging deal, even better than Gurkhas.
Man, AJ Fernandez, man of war.
That's right. And then I probably smoked for like strictly NCs, because I didn't know CCs, for about 3-4 years. And then I got my first bomb on back in my days on cigar.com forum. They did this, you know, great buddy of my Cuban cigars. I had no fucking idea what it was. Can we cuss?
Yeah, man, fucking swear all the way.
Oh, okay, all right. Just want to make sure that, you know, we're not aired on the armed forces, blah blah blah. That Rob spiel.
No, we are not on the Armed Forces Radio Network. The armed forces don't care about us, even though I care about them. So all right. Cuss, shit, well, whatever you gotta do, man.
Someday they'll see the light and smoke Cuban cigars. So
One day they'll carve their own path like we do.
Yeah. And then let's see, the first Cuban I had was a Bolivar Petit Corona. And that was
That's a good one to begin with. That's a good one.
Yeah, it was really good to begin with. And then the second round of Cuban cigars I had was actually Johnny O custom rolls.
Oh wow.
Fresh rolls, as a matter of fact. So I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. I started buying up shit left and right. And, you know, back in my NC days, there was a period when I was chasing after all the, like, the tatuaje, the Halloween, you know, the Halloween slutty hooker and whatever the fuck, you know, all that other stuff that he has out there. So I stopped that. I sold it all.
And you sold it all?
Sold it all. And some other schmuck bought them for me, and he's probably aging it, knowing that it tastes like shit at this point.
You know, I find that with so many of my non-Cubans, I know they don't age well. And I've smoked them, and I'm like, oh, man, these are not smoking great. So my natural response is, well, I'm just going to keep aging them. And then maybe in, like, 5 years, I'm going to be like, hey, man, I got a 15-year-old box of blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And people will go nuts over it, even though it tastes like shit.
Like, oh my god, that's a post embargo.
Yeah, that's a pre embargo non Cuban right there.
Let's see what else. So, yeah, after that, I started just kind of, you know, losing a lot of my non Cuban stash. Started buying a lot of CCs. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still smoke some non Cubans out there. I think, for instance, non Cubans is a completely different ball game as compared to, like, I would say 3-4 years ago. Yeah. I think non-Cubans have really ramped up to become even delicious stuff. But for the price and flavor, you know, Cuban cigars all the way, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's – there's differences.
Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, I feel like I could – no matter what non-Cuban I buy or smoke, I could always find a Cuban cigar that is most likely more flavorful in terms of body and preferred strength for me, which is more like a medium strength cigar. I don't like super strong cigars. And I could always find one that's typically cheaper than the non-Cuban that I'm smoking.
Yeah.
So it's like, why the hell wouldn't I smoke a Cuban cigar, right?
Prices are great. I don't get what people are talking about.
Mm-mm. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's, of course, Cuban cigars that are highly sought after. I mean, even way more than that, you know, the Liga Unico stuff of the NC World and the Tats and the whatever, the, you know, Five Kicks or whatever you call those. So
Five Kicks, but, baby.
Five Kicks. But overall, I mean, I could always find a better cigar, tasty cigar, cheaper cigar in the Cuban industry, cigar industry. So fast forward to what? Like the last 2-3 years, I've been buying tons of Cuban cigars. I probably have about 90% Cuban cigars and like 10% non-Cubans. And the non-Cuban stuff that I really, really, really appreciate and will still smoke for sure. Big props to Dion, you know, Illusione stuff. I think Dion, it does incredible, flavorful cigars. And that guy just knows his tobacco, I hear. I mean, he's a tobacco geek, and he turns out incredible cigars. Who else? You know, some of the new stuff, like, I like Warped. I had the, you know, the El Oso and the Flor de Valle. You know, those were pretty good. But it's very limited in non-Cuban world. But on the Cuban cigar front, man, I love them all overall. There's very few marcas that I would say that I just completely don't really want to touch. Like Cuaba. I've never had a good Cuaba ever in my life.
Nor will you ever have a good one.
Yeah, like I don't think it exists, you know. So, and there's shit out there for Cuaba that's like decades old. And then I look at it, I'm like, it probably tastes like smoking dry cardboard. So
it's always when, like, the people are like, hey, man, I really picked up this old box of Cuabas. And it was a hell of a deal. I bet it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I only pay $400 for this limited edition 08. And, oh, yeah, it tastes like nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, what are some of your favorite Cuban markers?
Oh, favorite Cuban markers. I will say if it has to be a well-aged Cohibas are good for the most part. I also say Bolivars. A. Chutman's Ramon Iones. You there?
Oh, Junior back, man. You back?
Oh, sorry. Was I out?
Either you were out or I was out.
Oh, my bad.
You're good.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good, man.
Okay. Favorite Marcus, for sure.
Favorite Cuban Marcus.
I would say Nader Bolivar's up there. Ramon Iones, A. Chapman. If it's Cohiba, it has to be – it's fickle. But when I find a good Cohiba, it's good. It has to be, for the most part, preferred, you know, El Aguito factory rolled. Something that has, gosh, 7-8 years is usually where I like it.
Now, when you go to Cohiba, I'm sorry. When you go to Cohiba, do you go to like the, you know, there's the Linea Classica, which is like the Robusto, Esmondido, right, all that, or do you go to the Linea 1492? Do you go to the Siglos? Which side do you go to?
I tend to go to more of the Siglo line.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of good Cohiba Robustos, but I mean, those are like the one that I really had of all the new ones and the old ones that I've had, mainly new ones. They're just, the new ones aren't there. They're either incredibly muted or they're extremely, they're full of young tannins. So meaning it's not ready to smoke.
Yeah.
I've had an incredible Cohiba Robusto from 94, which was just, it was just amazing. I mean, I couldn't believe how much flavor came out of that thing. But then again, you know, I paid a pretty penny for that cigar. So, but so I would say Cohiba is up there, but it's fickle. I would say the Marca that is consistent performer amongst all different Botolas, I would have to say H. Upman is pretty much up there for that.
Always winning. It's always winning.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I mean, whether your smoke, well, the only thing that I might not like that much at the Upman profile is the Magnum lines. I don't feel like the Magnum lines always perform for me. But you're talking about the Connoisseur lines, the one and the A. I mean, Sir Winston's absolutely classic. And then they're little guys like the Majestics and whatnot. They're all incredibly delicious. And you could buy young boxes of those and still enjoy them. So for anyone that's out there thinking that buy Cubans and sit on them for, I don't know, until you have a baby or whatever hell, not needed. Not needed at all, because even within the current production, they're making some great stuff. So,
yeah, H. Upman, I mean, the Sir Winston's, I mean, number twos, even the half Coronas, they smell great young. I mean, they do terrific with age, but they're great young too.
Yeah, I mean, half Coronas, man, that, I mean, we don't really have a what's considered a winter smoke in Northern California, Bay Area, which is where I'm at. But, you know, I love smoking those. I could go through just 2-3 of those in a setting and be completely happy.
Yeah, so they're easy. They're really easy to smoke. And I mean, there's no point in aging them because you just smoke them. I find that's the case with like Bolivar Royal Coronas for me. I just smoke through them really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. The Marcas that don't typically do it for me, of course, Kawaba. I don't really want to buy like the cheaper, you know, cheap and cheerful smokes of Quintero and the Jose Pietro stuff, because in my opinion, there's no yard guard. If I'm going to have a cigar, I don't want to do anything but enjoy the cigar. You know what I mean? Like I want it to be a cigar centric moment and not pulling weeds or, you know, spray mulch in the backyard or any of that stuff. So to that extent, I don't believe in buying yard guards. I've had them. They're not bad by any extent, but I feel like I could pay a buck more for a cigar and get something that's just exponentially better. So
absolutely. I never smoke cigars when I'm doing yard work. Well, I do, but I'm really not doing much yard work. But like when I get on my roof and I'll blow leaves and sticks off the roof, I will bring a cigar up there, but I usually just hang out up there. Like it'll be like I'll be up there for 2 hours. I ain't doing much. Just smoking on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've done yard guards before. Like I was pulling some weeds in the backyard and having one of those Quinteros. And I remember getting thirsty as hell. And the cigar tasted like ass when you're not hydrated, right?
So, oh, yeah.
You know, pitched it. Are you you doing espresso, Cuban espresso? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing a little Cubita. Well, it's actually twin engine Cuban style coffee, but it's one of those. Oh,
we got to talk about that, man. I've been that's Collins company, right?
Oh yeah, man, good stuff. Really good coffee. I really like it. I mean, I get his stuff every month. Colin came on the show. We should have him come back on. His coffee is freaking amazing.
Really, man. But yeah, man. I mean, I'm always up for trying stuff. You know, at this point in the cigar game, the Cuban cigar game, I always want to like regionals and edition limitadas are the ones are like what I equate to in the NC world of chasing after Pete Johnson's Halloween shit and Drew Estate's League of Unico stuff. Meaning, I don't always feel like regionals and limited editions are what it's cracked up to be. They're definitely more expensive, and it's more of a crapshoot. So, you know, I try to, but then again, the collector in me and the person that wants to smoke all the new stuff wants to try them out, and I typically do, but they're usually misses than hits. So,
yeah, it's they're never. I'm with you. I mean, I typically only really strive to get a limitada if it's like a brand or mark that I really can get behind. Like, you know, Bolivar, I like Partagas. I think Monte Cristo usually has really good limitadas.
Agree.
So it's just, but I just don't go for a lot of the other stuff just because. Yeah. And regionals, you know, it's Juan Lopez is my favorite brand, and only this year I really started smoking Juan Lopez regionals, which is kind of crazy, but it's interesting to see the differences in all of them.
Yeah, I was, no, I totally hear you on the Monte Cristo thing. You know, the Sublimes and the Grand Mundos and the 520s, which 520s, in my opinion, are not quite yet. They're kind of still in that funky period. But, you know, the Sublimes, which current state, I think, is kind of deteriorating.
They're going downhill last time I smoked them.
Yeah, but, like, man, when they're on, they were on, man. Like, in those Grand Mundos, my personal take on that is I think it's actually smoked better than the Sublime. Give it, you know, a little bit more time. Yeah, I mean, I love
Catfish,
that Grand Mundo.
Catfish thought the same thing. I was one of those. Maybe I was just a sucker for the 08 Sublimes, but I had really bad luck with those for a while because the 08s, and it wasn't really bad luck in actual cigar, but it's just anytime, you know, it'd be a weekend, I'd go outside. I was like, I'm going to go smoke a Sublime. Just started downpouring. I never had that experience. And then once I had it, I was like, man, these aren't smoking as good as they used to. But it's Monte Cristo, I think, has good limitadas.
What else? But most of the additional limitadas are not what it used to be, like what the actual market represents. Bolivars, for instance. Have you had that Super Corona yet?
Yeah, it doesn't smoke anything like a Bolivar, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't. And you know, the same thing kind of goes for Partagas. The same thing goes for a Jumpman, especially a Jumpman. That 2009 limited edition that they had?
Yeah.
Horrible. I forget what it was called.
It wasn't a Robusta, was it? Was it a Robusta?
I think it was pretty close to it. I don't exactly remember. But anyways, that was not good.
I mean, last year's Cohiba really didn't smoke like a Cohiba. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. It's a good cigar, but doesn't smoke like a Cohiba. So if you ever thought that was a Cohiba. And that's why I feel like Monte Cristo limitadas, for the most part, typically smoke very close to how a Monte Cristo smokes.
I agree. I totally agree. I almost feel like Monte LE is like a super version of like their Edmundos to a certain extent.
Like
more flavor, more depth.
Yeah, I smoked that Monte Cristo 80th last week, which I mean was it smoked. You could get that Monte Cristo qualities, and you know it's you know it did have that Edmundo quality. I'm more of a Petit Edmundo fan, but it did have that. It's freaking good.
So let me ask you this. So about that 80th anniversary,
yeah.
What? So I gauge a cigar of how good it is based upon if I'm going to buy it or not, and how much I'm going to buy. So based upon that rating scale, we're not going quantitative. Let's just talk about how much you buy. And knowing that it's going to be a super expensive cigar, of course.
And that's where, you know, you and I have talked about it. It's just what's the price going to be on? Because, I mean, if it's like between 40 and 50, or is it going to be like 60 plus? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think anyone has any idea. Between 40 and 50, you know, I mean, I hate that it's 20 count boxes. So just because I smoke so much, a lot of other stuff, I just never smoke a lot of things. And it's just, I'm always that I probably get a box. You know, if I really wanted to throw down money and not worry about some other stuff, I'd probably get two boxes. But it's one of those, if it's more expensive, definitely a box.
Yeah.
But it's just maybe, you know, I know other guys would want to smoke, and it's one of those things. I'm always one of those things. I'd rather just get like a half a box and just keep some aside, because I'm not the major collector in that sense, and I'm trying not to be a collector anymore because I'm kind of tired of having to take care of all that shit.
Really? Wait, what do you mean? Like you?
I mean, I use Bovitas and stuff like that, and so I have no worries. And I mean, that's all I use. So it's like I have coolers, and it's just I don't worry about it. But I'm just one of those things. I'm like, I don't want to worry about it. Just want to smoke, age a couple things, and boom, come back to them and see how they do. So I found that, and I'm trying to get to the point where it's like, what do I really like? What do I really smoke? And then just have some fun with regionals and limiteds and see where they go.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when it comes to a couple brands, you know, like H. Upman, there's a lot of good stuff, but I probably just pick up a box of Sir Winston's. And then if I want a Robusto, you know, right, I'll go for a Bolivar. And if I want a Petit Corona, I'll go with Por La Arenaga and along those lines. But I would say, depending on the price, I mean, because what do they make, like 3,000 boxes?
30, yeah. 30,000? Yeah. I mean, it's a decent-sized production. I mean, it's not super limited. But it's also not, like, blowing it out, like, making 5,000, right? So,
well, and it's interesting to – yeah, it's interesting to see – it'll be interesting to see the prices, too, because it's like, you know, I've seen some of the prices for the H. Upman Magnum 56 is out of England, and it's, like, 600 pounds a box, which is ridiculous.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. With, and the Partagas Maduros from an LCDH were like 700 pounds a box. And I'm like, good God, Partagas Maduro, 700
pounds. You're talking about that. You talked about that Partagas 2014 LE?
No, the Partagas Maduro, that new one.
Oh, Maduro. Oh, okay.
The H. Upman Magnum 56s that were like 600 pounds for a box of 25. I know it's a Limitada, but.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
I know. Would you want to. Do you really want to buy a box of – and where I get to is, like, do I really want to buy a box of Magnum 56s?
Yeah.
Like, I like Magnum 50s, but those are big. Like, when, you know, when you smoke a Magnum 50, it's only, like, 6x50, which to me is, like, if you look at the non-Cuban world, that's, like, traditional. That's, like, you walk into a humidor at any cigar shop, 6x50s are just, like, they look normal. Right. But when you smoke a 6x50 Cuban, it's, like, this thing's huge.
Right. Yeah. Dang, that's a speaking of the Upman LE56s, I got gifted one at of all places at the trade show.
Oh, really? Do you smoke it?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe cool to tell the story about this whole, like, how all that shit happened. So, you know, I went there as a part of Blind Man's Puff crew, and we went to the Adderby Byron booth.
Oh yeah, Adderby, yeah.
Yeah, and there's this
Nelson lady Alfonso. There.
Yep. And then you know, we're talking to some dude named David there, if I remember correctly. But
Dave Garofalo.
Yes, yes.
Great guy, very nice.
Nice. So, you know, he introduced us to this Cuban lady that was sitting in his booth, a lady named Leticia, and she is a Cuban tobacco farm girl, like born and raised, you know, cigar tobacco Cuban girl. And she's also essentially has the best palate for cigars. Like, she won some Habanos essay, you know, competition on blind tasting review of certain Habanos.
No shit.
It's crazy. You want to hear how crazy this shit is? Like, so she was telling us how, so like, first they put a blindfold on, right? And they'll give her a unbanded Cuban cigar. And first she has to, you know, guess what it is, like narrow it down to what it is by just kind of feeling it, smelling it, without, of course, looking at it. And let's say she'll narrow it down to, like, you know, different Toros, like a Sig Low 6 and, you know, like, I don't know, like Mac 50 or whatever else, right? And then after that, they smoke it. Not only do they have to say what marca and what vitola it is, they
vintage.
Have to, yeah, and they have to guess vintage and the factory that's rolled it.
Wow! Nuts!
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean,
that's insane.
I mean, I definitely don't know tobacco like that. But it was insane to hear that. And so she was the lady that gifted us the Mac 56. So
that's pretty crazy. Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to think about it. Like, I don't care who you. I mean, I Cuba doesn't have tons of brands, and they don't have like tons of offerings out there. But the skills that go with that. And that's what's cool about, you know, if you read about the Habanos Festival and what they do there and, like, the competition between the Habanos sommeliers and so forth like that. You don't have that in the non-Cuban world. I mean, it's – we don't have a bunch of gringos standing up there talking about it because, in reality, they just don't know shit compared with a lot of people. I mean, it's – you know, it's – I mean, you said Dion. Dion's one of those guys that – Dion knows tobacco. I mean – another guy, Nick Melillo. Nick Melillo really knows tobacco, who's now started Foundation and the I don't know how to pronounce it. I just call it Gooey Gooey Goodness.
The wise man, Wenwei Say.
Yeah, I just call it Gooey Gooey Goodness. But dude, it's just which is a great stick. Those are guys that I can think of that really know tobacco well. And they work with great tobacco with that Agonorsa, but that's pretty sweet. Well, you have to share your thoughts on that Magnum 56.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely review it. I'll put up a review. Yeah. So, what else? What else I was going to say? To welcome me to the Volume 2 of Wood Embargo because Catfish. He had to leave us. He's still very much a cigar fan. So if you want to talk shit about him, please still nag him. I could surely provide you guys his phone number so you could bug the fuck out of him. So
there you go. Just give him a hard time. He deserves it. So
as for me, if you have any questions, I'll put up, you know, my contact information and whatnot. And if you feel like there's certain concepts or things that you guys want to talk about that will give you a better time as a Habano smoker or just want to have more knowledge, by all means, let us know. And you know, we'd love to go after it. If there's certain reviews that you guys want to have us smoke in certain cigars, tell us so that we could give a proper review of such. And just in general, I mean, ideas-wise, by all means, tell us.
We want to know, man. Aaron Wawensei. Aaron Lewis told us how to pronounce it. Wawensei.
Oh. Wawensei. You smoked that, didn't you?
Yeah, I love it. I smoked the Churchill because he and I were talking about his line. And he said, you know, I really spent a lot of time on the Churchill. Well, he spent a lot of time on everything. But, you know, I really wanted to make a really good Churchill. I really wanted to, like, honor that size. And I told him that's good because, and I even said in my room, because there's a lot of, I mean, most non-Cuban churches in Double Corona suck. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's very few people, you know, in Nicaragua, Honduras, DR, that make good Churchills, in my opinion.
I agree.
They don't do it. Double Coronas as well. They just can't make a cigar that tastes good too big. So someone said half Coronas are like candy.
Yeah. They're like, definitely crack. So yeah, I mean, what else? What else should I talk about in terms of my background? I mean, where am I at with my current smoking experience? I'm at the point where I feel like I kind of have a stash of all the regular production stuff that I want to have a stash of and age and, you know, sample through as time goes on. Kind of like you, I think I just want to try the regionals and limiteds and that kind of stuff. you know, even though it's kind of been like a crapshoot for me, I still want to smoke them because I'm not going to know until I smoke them, right? So
it's every once in a while that you really find a good one. I mean, there's some where you come across some regional and you're like, ah, this is just, I'd rather smoke something else. But, you know, every once in a while you come across one that's just really special. It's like I was smoking a Punch for Spain, regional for Spain, which is, it's like Edmundo.
The Grand Robusto, right?
Yeah, phenomenal. I mean, it's not a size that Punch has, really delivers those Punch qualities. And it's just like, man, this is great. This is awesome. This is what it's about. But then again, you smoke like the 2014 Juan Lopez for Portugal. And I'm just like, this isn't as, you know, it's not really what I'm looking for with when I smoke Juan Lopez. I'd rather smoke the Celestial number one or even number two. So you never know what you're going to get. And that's what makes it fun, I guess.
I mean, what Juan Lopez have you had that's honestly better than the number one or the number two?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever found any of them that are better than the number ones or number two. And, you know, they smoke – those things smoke great young with age. I have a couple 08s, mm-hmm. which are fantastic. I mean, simply phenomenal. Yeah. I have a lot of 08 and 07 and 09 stuff.
08 in general was a – I mean, if you could find 08 boxes in general, my opinion is buy them because they're smoking great right now for the most part and just mark us all across the board.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good year. 12 is a good year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the interesting thing about, you know, Habanos is with Cubans is the people who are in the Cuban world, you know, we always talk about vintages and years, man, that was a really good year. I just, you don't find that with non-Cubans. And I think that's what makes it really even more special.
Yeah.
And that's
what I also like about Cuban cigars because, you know, boxes are dated, right?
Yeah.
You know, I within current production stuff, I heard there's less and less of a importance on the actual factory rolled in, but definitely within the month and the year of that particular. And I love that. Whereas non-Cuban cigars, right? Like you may have the first run of, you know, just for pure example purposes, when Dion released his first Kaz of his Illusioni Rothschilds, which I love, by the way.
Have a whole one. Unopened.
Dude, those are amazing. That's actually my go-to cigar when I go to my B&M because most of their shit, they're like, I don't want to smoke, you know,
whatever they have and stuff like that.
Yeah, whatever, that Boulevard bubblegum candy wrap or whatever the fuck they have nowadays.
Boulevard, dude, we're going to smoke it on the show. I have some coming our way. We're going to smoke the Boulevard bubblegum. And the Ramones.
Yeah. Yeah, have you've seen those, right? Well, yeah, you put it on Facebook, I think.
Yeah, I saw them in my local candy shop. Mm-hmm. So it's man, what a disgrace to the boxes. You know, it's funny because I wanted to get a box and compare it with my like Boulevard. I just had one Boulevard Libertador box lying around, but my mom took it because she thought the box was so great. She just took it when she left. So I don't have it to compare with the other stuff. But oh well, I'll get another one.
You know what we should do? We should score some of those General Cigar Boulevards and the Ramones, and then we should unban all that stuff, and then we should send them out and then have people guess what Cuban cigar it is.
we have to wait a while because people will remember it, so we have to wait and see what it is. But you know, it's what's funny though is I like to you know, another good show that Coop and Paul do is Stogie Geeks is I like to send them a lot of unbanded stuff. Nice. And they know I have a lot of Cuban stuff, so I always try and throw a confusion in there. You know, you find anything with a triple cap, and you just throw it in there and see what they do. And especially stuff that's been aging. So, because it's, you know, I send them like a Cas Fernandez Miami Reserva from like an original release. It was like when it was one size from like 11. I sent it to you all too. You guys liked it because I bought a shit ton of those. And Coop hated it at first, and then he smoked it and says, wow, this is a completely different cigar. Just because it aged phenomenal. It's always fun to do that stuff. So, yeah, we got to we're gonna do a lot of blind stuff, and we're gonna mess around with people, because it's like that one time you got catfish night with that Hoya, which was,
yeah, that's right. That was like a year ago, I think.
It was around a year ago. That was a hell of a trick.
Oh, yeah. What was I gonna say? I think at this point I like to do more regional stuff and just kind of look into regional stuff that comes out, the additional limitada stuff, and really some of the regionals that I really want to hit up is like a lot of that Middle Eastern stuff. Like there's such a that, you know how like people talk, some people don't, or they feel like Cubans are so expensive and it's like such a great thing and such a like that forbidden fruit sort of a thing. Well, for me, the Middle Eastern regionals are like that, because I've never smoked one and I want to be able to smoke all of that stuff. So I'm trying to work through some connections
I think you and I just need to book a flight to Lebanon and we'll go to Lebanon for a day, or actually not even a day, probably like 6 hours. That way we might be able to get out of the country alive. I don't care what you say. If you see me walking around Beirut, any smart person is going to be like, let's grab that motherfucker.
Yeah. And any motherfucker is going to look at me and be like, oh, he could build us another railroad. let's grab that white boy and let's grab that
oh, man. Labor worker. Who knows what that white boy is going to do. So, yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things. And, you know, we'll go get some of those exclusives, because I mean they have a monopoly on the Ramon Ionis exclusives. I mean, dude, they just do little Edmundos and Grand Edmundos and Petit Edmundo Ramon Ionis all every year.
And what I hear is they just knock it out of the park every time they release one of those. Like everything, people really like them. So
I smoked a 12, and I remember this because I was going through my, and I can't believe I smoked one of the 12 ones, not the original one with the fancy Phoenician band. And I was going through my notes. I was like, holy crap, this is fantastic. But then I forgot about it because I also was smoking a Edmundo Dantes, that 109, which was amazing. Amazing. Which I hear they're bringing back for 2016.
Yeah, they're going to do a torpedo version of that. So,
which, and you know, I was talking with another guy, says, you know, who was interested in the Monte Cristo 80s. He said, man, screw the Monte Cristo 80s. Let's just focus on the Edmundo Dantes.
Hey, he may have a good point, like, because
there's a valid point in that too. So yeah.
Have you had have you had that 54?
The Connie fit the Edmundo 50. No, I didn't smoke that one. I'd smoked the original 109. I never smoked the 54.
Okay.
Which was one of the best cigars I ever smoked.
It's up there, dude. It's fantastic. Those are one of those cigars where it came out, it's like, fuck, why did I buy a box of those and then like stash them away? Because you have an idea that it's going to be good. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
why didn't you fork up that money at that current fair market value and just bite the bullet and do it instead of waiting and be like, oh, fuck, now I've got to pay like what? You know, 35 to 45 bucks a piece. So,
yeah, I have a good older friend who's got plenty of money. Who's actually he bought a box of the 109s. He actually bought a box. He showed it to me, and I told him F off because he had to tease me with that. But then he gave me a Ramon Ionis Gigantes from 07, which was fantastic. So nice. We're all good at the end of the day.
Yeah. Very nice.
So why don't we talk a little bit about what you've been smoking? What particularly have you been smoking that's just been
The last few weeks? I got in. So John Ortega behind Johnny O Customs, he's doing kind of I guess the best way I could kind of describe it is more of like a regional sort of a line. Instance, he came out with Pinard's. So it's from Pinard, and I had one of those. I actually just got up on it last week. It was rolled about 2 weeks ago. Fantastic. I mean, absolutely incredibly floral. Got such a nice breath of just that deftness and the body that I love in Cuban cigars for the most part. And I feel like non-Cubans have a very hard time mimicking or even getting close to. Love that. I'm having a Juan Lopez Andorra Regional right now, which is, I think it's the number 5. So we just came out in 2010. And this thing is a firecracker, man. Like, I mean, I'm drinking some, you know, Parker's Heritage bourbon, and this thing is like stepping right in pace with that. I feel like most spirits in the sense of whiskey in general cannot keep up with cigars in the sense of, I mean, yeah, I could taste a cigar, but you can't really taste the nuances. But yeah, this you definitely can. And I'm a slow smoker, and I can milk this thing for like half an hour. So what else has been good? I revisited the Emudo Dante's 54 like a week ago.
Nice.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's maybe maybe it'd be cool to, you know, at some of our shows, we could do like we could smoke the same cigars together, and we could do like a video review of them. So
yeah, we should. Yeah, definitely. We'll do that. Yeah, we're gonna
like
do
some
that.
Some of the the super cool shit that's coming out, or like the stuff that's really hard to find. Like, you know, we could do a review on it, and then do like a video chat on it, and then we could send it to the army of video editors at the Cigar Federation to get edited for us.
We'll get it all figured out.
Yeah. And what else? Something that I had that I wasn't too fond of. I had a 2000 Partagas Longsdale. Man, those are going downhill. You know, I mainly got just a little bit of hay, a little bit of just, you know, just the body was gone. There was absolutely no pepper left in it anymore. So within the like 10 or so that I got of those, I mean, I'm going to smoke them all pretty soon.
15 years is a long time, man. 15 years is a long time.
You know what holds up 15 years? The only marca, in my opinion, that holds up 15 years, and this is just overall, in my opinion, Cohiba. I mean, I will not hesitate at all if I had decades, you know, a decade old, you know, 15-year-old Cohibas lying around. I would, at that point, I would be stoked to smoke them.
Yeah, I smoked a Siglo 5 from like 2002 or something, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, it was like 13 years and it was phenomenal. I mean, just simply fantastic. I mean, it's just, it's the brand it's meant to age, man. It's like fine wines.
Yep, that's right. What else? I had a Churchill. It was good. And that's about it. I mean, that's what's most memorable. Yeah, what about you?
The Picadores. Nice. I've been smoking my way through those. I need to work around to really gathering my true thoughts on it and reviewing it. It's a good stick. It's hard for me to you know, I'm glad that they added a bigger size to the brand, to the marca. But there's a part of me that's just, the new bands are too fancy. You know, they just need to go back to that shitty old band.
It's like it's flashy. There's like no need to be so fucking flashy.
No, it's too flashy. They need to take the band. They need to go throw it in a pile of mud. They need to step on it a couple times and really add that true old school quality to it.
Now, I will say that Cohiba bands, I think that's fine because just the sheer amount of counterfeits out there for like markets like Cohiba, you know, I think it's cool to do that hologram and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, preferably not a fucking band that takes up like a fourth of the cigar, but I understand that. The Por La Orinaga, Quiet Orce, whatever, you know, give some kids some crayons and tell them to draw some fucking orange on it and be done with it.
You're absolutely right. Cause I, you know, I was talking about it. I was showing these Cohiba bands to my wife and everything. And she's like, you know, the original Cohiba is the only brand. It's like, it deserves that brand. It deserves that band. It needs to be up at a higher level, I think. It's just, it represents Cohiba better. I think, you know, it's like I'm now smoking this Partagas. I love this Partagas brand. I hate the Siri.
Awesome.
I hate the Siri D and shit. You know, but the old H. Upman bands are cool, but the new ones aren't bad. But yeah, the Picadores band is just too—it's too fancy. Yeah. I smoked in. I came back to an H. Upman Magnum 50.
Nice.
Which was—it's good. It's a big stick, but it's been aging really well. You know what I noticed, and this is kind of conspiracy theory. This is where the Dion sets in. If you ever look at like the side of the H. Upman Magnum 50 or any of those H. Upman brands, you know you see like that little—it's like a little white flower. It looks like an alien head.
Yeah.
I swear, man, there's a conspiracy there. That's an alien head. I think there is. I think there's a message behind it. I just don't know what it is. But I think it goes in line with just some aliens down off the coast of Cuba. It's just one of those things, man. It's just how I roll. Boulevard, well, Coronas. I think I smoked a 09, maybe it was a 10. It's just one of the best Robustos out there. I mean, I don't think you really can go wrong with it.
I agree. You know, speaking of the Bolivar Real Coronas, I feel like that is the cigar. So, like, I have, like, 3 boxes of those just, like, chilling in aging. But
yeah,
the few times that I smoked that, I know it's one of those moments where you go, why the fuck do I buy everything else? Why don't I just stick to something like this and then just go deep on them? And then just enjoy this for my rest of my life. For the rest of my life, you know.
That's where I am.
That's exactly one of those kinds where I completely feel like that every time I smoke it, bar none.
It's the Robusto. In fact, I always make the joke because someone asked me one time, "Why is it called Royal Coronas? Why isn't Royal? You know, why isn't a Robusto or something?" I said, "Because it's just so good of a Robusto that they technically call it a Corona." And that's why it's just a Royal Corona. That was just a stupid little thing I said, but the guy thought it was entertaining at the time. But it's – you buy boxes of – it's – I wonder why I smoke other Robustos after smoking it. It's just – I know there's a lot of good ones out there, but it's like you find that one and that's the one. What else have I smoked? Oh, I got a little list here. Some photos that I smoked. Smoked a new Cohiba Siglo 1. Which is pretty good.
Yeah, young, nice little, but good.
Yeah, nice little smoke.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I look at the Siglo series and, you know, Siglo 6 are just like those classics. But I love the Siglo. I love the Dahlias. I love that 898 Siglo 5.
Speaking of Dahlias, 898s in general, like, man, will that freaking Ramon Regional for Aluminia ever release? Because that's one that I'm actually looking forward to. And I will go to No Lease to get a couple of boxes of.
That is a release, and they're using the that green and white band, aren't they? I think they are.
Yep, old school. Yeah.
It's just a terrific size. It's, you know, it's like the Partagas 898. That's another one which is you can't go wrong with that, especially if you get a really good one. So that's all that's really friggin' wowed me in some ways. But it's just, you know, good age stuff.
Yeah, cool. Oh, I was going to say, I smoked a 2001 Partagas Churchill Deluxe last week.
Oh, how was it?
I was pissed, man. It was plugged, like completely plugged. And Dustin actually, Catfish, sent me a Havana Saver, one of those, what do you call those? The poker sticks?
Oh, yeah, the little weed roaches.
And I left it in my cigar for a good hour to try to come back to it and smoke it. But every time I took the Havana, the poker stick out, the cigar just automatically just closed up and it was dead. So I had to pitch it. I was pissed. And I was like, dude, I even – but of the little that I got out of it, it had really good flavors. But hey – you know, I guess this is one of the scenarios in which, you know, that stigma that Cuban cigars get, that Cuban cigars are plugged and they're not constructed very well. Well, some of the older stuff, yes, agree. But for the guys that want to get into Cuban cigars and want to smoke them, the new stuff, you got to be freaking kidding me, man. Like, they're rolled great. and you know, I'm pretty sure they draw test them now more than ever, and they're doing great. So,
I think construction's really, really gone uphill since 07, 08. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's having a problem is very uncommon for me. So when people say it, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, because it's just not – I don't see the problem that people are talking about. And I've smoked whole varieties of inches and boxes and different marcas. So it's – but then again, you know, I had a couple non-Cubans as well that, you know, past a little while that had been plugged. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I had just, when I was doing what Blind Review cigars, one of the cigars, I forget what it was, but the complete wrapper fell off of it. And my review was based upon smoking the filler and the binder, you know. So
It's a great filler blend. I don't know how the wrapper tasted, but the filler blend was fantastic.
No, actually, so, that was a pretty shitty cigar. I'm pretty sure most of the Blind Man Review puff that I do, I'm the one that gets outcasted and score get dropped, because – the lowest score always gets dropped on that, and I'm pretty sure a lot of it is because of me.
I've been dropped a couple times, too. I mean, I know that Aaron seen me. I'm like, man, I'm right at the bottom there. So, yeah. And then I just make fun of the people who give it, like, the fucking highest rating out there. So,
yeah.
But it's just, it happens. But I think production and construction and just the quality overall has gotten better over the years. Mm-hmm. I don't see the issues with it. It's one of those things. What I laugh about, and we should do a show about it, is because, you know, these past years we've talked about Cubans, the amount of non-Cuban manufacturers who have been very public in bashing Cuba, and bashing Cuban cigars. Some of whom I know were big Cuban smokers. It's like they're getting defensive now that they potentially will have competition down the road, but I think. What they do, though, is they're definitely influencing non-Cubans, and I mean it's quite evident. And it's with the new Crux line for all you guys out there. The Crux, the brand based out of Minnesota, they have that new Crux de Connoisseur, which is based off the old. Yeah, it's based off the old Serie de Connoisseurs by Partagas.
Yep, I mean what some people don't understand is the non-Cuban market is ripping off Cuba, all right? And you think Pete Johnson, fucking, like, Huber, et cetera, are such geniuses behind their marketing and their regional shit that Huber's doing and the store exclusives and blah, 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 limited edition. All that stuff, it came from Cuba. Cuba originated all of that stuff. What the limitadas, what the regionals, with just festival cigars, you know. All of that came from Cuba. So, you know, if you're going to talk about it, first, in my opinion, you got to give respect to the old Cuban traditions of cigars. You have to, because it originated from there.
Anytime you see a Reserva band on a non-Cuban, say thank you, Cuba.
Exactly. Every time you see a fucking Sly lid box, every time you see a dress box in a non-Cuban market, you say, Cuba, you did that. It's not because, I don't know, some other non-Cuban company did it. It's complete bullshit.
It's one of those things. Yeah, you have to be honest with it. Now, when you see the new Ramon Iones and Bolivar boxes from General, don't say thank you, Cuba. You say I'm sorry, Cuba.
Right, exactly.
Because you just insulted them big time.
No, it's complete insult. I mean, I don't. when I saw it at the show, I stood there and I was just thinking. You know, I was like, how can you bastardize Cuban rooted traditions? How can you do that? I mean, it's not a mystery that non-Cuban market copies Cuban market, but how can you just downright essentially take a regular, you know, wooden box and have all this crazy art and vibrant colors and all that shit on it? And saying that you're giving props to Cuban tradition and you want to do the revised modern artistic thing to it.
Hey man, I'm totally with you. It's a it's not a way of paying tribute. It's a way of kind of just saying, man, we really fucked that one up. Yeah.
Furthermore, so I will say, if Cubans could roll cigars that has 2 to 3 year aged tobaccos and could taste so great, and you picking up a Nicaraguan cigar with 15-year-old blah, 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 it'll make it mediocre. Well, what does that tell you, man? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if Cuba wants to do it, they could produce the best cigars. They do produce the best cigars if they want to do it. It's just that, you know, there's duds here and there because of the state of, you know, their economy and their business push and all that, in my opinion.
They got to get it out. They got to use the tobacco, man. They got to keep rolling. So, but hey, man, they sell. You don't see them discontinued. You don't see them discontinue too much stuff. And hey, man, they relaunched Vigueros. And have you smoked the new Vigueros?
I have. They're what'd you think of them? I thought they were okay. I mean,
they're fun. They're better than the old stuff, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, he's better. I mean, not even comparable in that game, but.
It's one of those. They're not my favorite sizes, but I see what they're doing with them, and it's fun. It's interesting. It really has a different. It's cool to see the flavor profile coming from those, because I mean that stuff. Everything in there is just Pinar del Rio. None of that stuff is Havana. So it's just kind of interesting to see that whole. Really has that farmer mentality to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Keeping it local.
Yeah. So, Seth, let's talk about, you want to kind of talk about what we have planned, and for future shows
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we can feed off this, and people, if you want us to do something, message us, email me, email June. We'll get you that information, but you know, you can find me anywhere. But, you know, I think we want to talk about – because, you know, we covered a lot of stuff on the fakes and the old – and book one. We talked about all that stuff, and we talked about new. We talked about regionals and limited. So June and I were kind of going to be true Cuban style and, you know, kind of focus on the older years and just kind of talk about, you know, what Cubans are all about and the aging and – share what we're smoking, share our thoughts on that. How are they smoking? What do we think's going to come? Every once in a while, you know, take some ideas, just kind of feed off of others, you know, what to pair with Cubans. Cause Cubans are a little bit different, I think, than non-Cubans in the fact of what you can really, really pair with them.
Yeah.
I just think it's a totally different ball game.
Right. No, I feel like Cuban cigars are, it's more difficult to find good pairings with. I feel like non-Cuban cigars, especially coming out of Nicaragua, you could pair a very hefty, you know, like an Islay Scotch, Islay Whiskey, or, you know, Campbellton, etc., or Speyside, and it'll fit a lot of the Nica cigar profile because naturally they're a little bit more peppery and they're more just more bigger, like they're powerhouses. Whereas Cuban cigars, I mean, nicotine delivery and flavor profile is so different, and it's a lot more, in my opinion, nuanced. It's a lot more, there's more complexities, in my opinion. So, you know, because of all that, and generally, it's not as strong as non-Cubans, generally.
Yeah.
So with that, I feel like spirits and whatnot that pair better with it are the softer, lighter spirits. You know, I would not personally pair anything from Islay with a Cuban cigar because I just don't think it works. I could find tons of wines to pair with Cuban cigars because they are, a lot of them are complimentary. So, but yeah, anyways, we could definitely have future episodes and talk about, you know, contingent upon, you know, we'll perhaps take it by marca, and then we'll kind of take it by different spirits that Seth and I have, or if you don't have, you know, I could totally send you. I have those little 3-ounce bottles of stuff I could send you samples of, and we'll do shows on.
Yeah, we can definitely go down the road. There's been plenty of shows where I've hit the spirits and get going. But yeah, we'll talk about that. You know, we're going to try and we're going to work with some non-Cuban manufacturers for them to come on that we really fit with us, talk about their brand, and also get down and talk about Cuban cigars with them, and just see what they have to say and talk about tobacco. And so we got a lot of ideas. You know, it's one of those we're going to have good shows. I'm super excited. I hope June is.
Yeah.
It's good to get Wet Embargo back on the roll again. I think Monday nights are going to be our nights. Yeah.
Something else I was going to say is, sorry, Seth, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, do it.
So, you know, going back to the whole, you know, trying to get some of the non-Cuban manufacturers to come in, you know, we're not talking about just, you know, any sales rep or any guy that has a brand. We're talking about, you know, what, you know, I'm not going to call out any specific names, but, you know, some of these guys that are non-Cuban cigar guys and the brands out there, they started their love with cigars, with Cuban cigars. So we want to mainly target those guys and, you know, geek out about Cuban cigars as well as when they blend their non-Cuban cigars, what they're looking for, and essentially, you know, the comparisons between what they blend and the Cuban cigars that they've so enjoyed in their past and still enjoy. When I was walking around at the show, at the trade show this year, there's a couple of the manufacturers and the guys behind it that they were smoking Habanos there. And I was like, oh, cool, like you smoke Habanos. And they're like, yeah, man, like this is how I started, you know, like, you know, how do I, he's like, I know how to make cigars because I know what the cigars taste like, i.e. Cuban cigars. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then also, you know, have ideas of doing like vertical tastings, you know, for the guys that know their wines, you know, vertical tastings are a big thing, right? So you take basically, you know, various vintages, the same varietal, the same winery, and then you go taste based on that. And I want to do that as a part of these shows as well, so that you guys can know based on, you know, of that market in Vitola, what's smoking well at this current point, so that you could spend your harder money and chase after those.
Find them and get them if you can, because if you got a good retailer, you got a good international retailer, they can usually, if you get in contact with them, they can tell you the vintages of what they have, and you can and work with them on that.
Uh-huh.
So at least I have that experience. I don't know about everyone else, but
yeah. And also I was gonna say, you know, we also have some perhaps things in a pipeline of, you know, not only getting the manufacturers to get on the show, perhaps having retailers themselves come on, you know, to kind of give their take on within being a retailer, how long they've been around it and the trend that they see going on and, you know, what their likes and dislikes are, and just talk about the Cuban cigar industry from the retailer's perspective. So I think that'll be a cool little twist on that. So
yeah. International retailers, everyone, they're coming to America. Uh-huh. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. We got some cool things in store. That's about our hour. We don't want to keep you any longer. So Wet Embargo, book 2, chapter 1. June, close it up, man. Give us some words.
Thanks for the opportunity. I love to geek out about cigars, Cuban cigars. I love to geek out with you about alcohol, big craft beer fan, big wine fan, rum fan, whiskey fan. I'm a total lush. I'm on a sabbatical from work, so I got all the fucking time of the world to chat with you. You know, if you ever want to like kick it up and be on a video chat with me and I'm around, by all means, let's, you know, video turf it up. I'm down for that. I'm excited. I'm stoked. I'm stoked for possibilities. I'll do my best to carrying the torch from Catfish and to have as good of a transition as possible. And looking forward to just smoking and hanging out with you guys.
Yellow Snapper closing the game, man. Well, what embargo? That's the end for tonight. That's Yellow Snapper and Big Tuna signing out.
Larry.